Welcome to episode 7 of the Peas in the Podcast, season 3. Here we discuss trends and provide commentary on media and social justice issues, as well as our own personal life experiences. Once again, please remember to hashtag wear your mask, and just because you're vaccinated don't mean show your ass. Today, we will have Bonita Kroll as our third guest this season while we discuss today's topic pandemic employment fatigue. When does tradition and employability equal a perpetuation of violence? We are coming in hot today. Bonnie, can you please introduce yourself? Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Daphne and Jameer Starr, for inviting me. My name is Bonita Kroll. I go by Bonnie. I'm the founder of the Ebenezer Project, where I do racial justice education for Anabaptist and Mennonite churches. But today I am all the way amped up about employability. What does that mean? When do we lose our jobs? When do we quit our jobs? What does it look like? So I'm excited to dive in for this topic. Excited to meet Daphne and Jameer virtually for the first time. Hear their stories. And just really glad to be here. Thank you all for inviting me. Jameer, you want to get us started?
Okay. Thanks for tagging me in. All right, so I work in education, so I'm always fatigued. And that parts of the lockdown, I worked in education and in city government. So again, I'm always fatigued. But when we first started picking up the pieces after the shutdown, my internship flipped me on my head and it almost killed me. Alright, so I was doing a lot before. I was going to community events, helping organize stuff, reaching out to donors, and pretty much anything else they could think of. Some nights I get home from events halfway across the city at 10 p.m. Shit, one night, I had gotten lost on my way to the train stop. It was something like 11 o'clock in the morning, no, at night. So, look, I'm in West Philly. I'm not used to West Philly. So, yeah, I walked to the next train stop, right? The next morning, I find out that the train stop where I was supposed to be at, someone had gotten shot and killed. But, like most things that happen outside of work banter, no one seemed to care. But at least I cared. I was glad I was...
Hold on.
Yes, hey, welcome to Philly.
Welcome to Philly.
Hold on.
B.
He said that so candidly.
Also, and Jameer, you didn't tell us this, which is more concerning. Like, this did not
happen. I'm surprised that I didn't.
Jameer, no, you haven't been.
I'm surprised that I didn't.
Jameer does not. I feel like when death comes around Jameer, he just be like, that was a blip in time.
Yeah.
And he'll be talking and chopping the shit up like normal. And you're just like, Jameer, what?
Almost died.
I think it might be the Aquarius tree.
Like, that definitely could have.
It's definitely an
Aquarius
tree.
That definitely could have been me.
Because I saw a meme once, and it was like the best definition of an Aquarius dealing with something traumatic. Somebody's like, hey, I just want you to know, my grandma died. Aquarius trying to console. Damn. Well, you know, she was old anyway, so. The next progression of things
I hope I won't let it get that bad.
In my experience of being the only non-Aquarius in this group, that has definitely happened to me. Not to that extreme, but like the things that Daphne will just be like saying to me. Anyway, Jameer,
I'm so sorry. I do. Jameer, it just comes out very misplaced.
Very wrong. Star was like, Bonnie, if you ever need someone to like console you, Daphne and Jameer are not your people.
I'm pretty sure I have some. like they're not helping me right now, and I'm having a mental breakdown.
I feel like it depends on what the topic is.
All right.
For sure.
Probably true.
Okay, right, back to you.
I don't even know.
Because we care.
All right. But back to the panty. By the time the pendulum hit, I was already worked out. But the time after, all but killed me. So, again, I told you guys I was working for the city. I was conducting trainings in English, Spanish, French, Mandarin, and Korean. For some of these trainings, I was mainly doing background stuff. So, like, let's say we're running the training in Mandarin, right? They would say, like, the word next in Mandarin, or like they would message me in our Google Doc, be like, yo, call on this person, unmute their mic, or go to the next slide, or do this or do that. But for English and Spanish, I actually had to moderate and lead those trainings on my own. So I was answering people's questions, sometimes in Spanish. I was calling on people. I was going through so I was doing a lot for all these different languages. So I would sometimes help moderate 4 to 6 trainings a day. And I was doing this on top of canvassing and phone banking. Some days I worked almost 15 hours. And then I felt wrong putting down the actual amount of hours I worked because it was an hourly internship.
Yo, can we talk about that? So I thought that
people would be mad.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, so like, I felt so wrong putting down the amount of hours I actually worked. So I'm like, all right, let me just put down my, I'll put down I work 6 hours, 7 hours. And then I had talked to my coworker about that. And they was like, oh, no, I've been putting down, I work like almost 20 hours a day. I'm like, oh, let me put that down too. Because like, yo, I was working it, right? I just didn't want to rock the boat. But I also guess like, I guess partly because I was working from home, I felt like it wasn't real work, maybe. I don't know. But honestly, by some parts of the pandemic, I felt like I was drowning in deadlines, trainings, meetings, and everything else. And no one seemed to care. All the while taking care of my grandma and trying to take care of myself. And it seemed like no one cared about everything else that was going on in the world, going on in my world. Black people were dying in the streets. My city was practically on fire. And I just was pretty much expected to keep it pushing like nothing was going on. I remember my one coworker, she was real dope. Well, let me just add, during parts of the pandemic, right, she decided that she was going to make her own vacation, so she flew to Puerto Rico. So oh. she's a character. But yeah, my one coworker, she told me to take a sick day. I was literally the only person on my team who hadn't yet, and I was so afraid because I knew how valuable I was in terms of running the trainings and doing all this other stuff. And I didn't want them to struggle without me. Also, my boss had put it into my head that we're like this family, and you know how bosses do. So I chose this random Friday where my calendar was practically empty, and I was like, yeah, yo, I'm sorry. I can't go to no meetings today. My Wi-Fi went out. And I let them know I couldn't make it to any meetings or calls, but it could text me. It wasn't exactly calling out because I surely did put those hours on my work, on my timesheet. Sure it was close enough to me. Now, all these months later, I officially called out at my teaching job. I said I had a doctor's appointment, which I did, and that's it. I didn't tell them that the doctor's appointment was at 4 o'clock, but that's not their business.
And I'm not going to have to edit this out of the podcast Is this incriminating?
Yeah, that part.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, we want you to be employed.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, like, I can't tell you how many emails I got from teachers and students. And like, yo, like, people was needing me. But look, I can't even lie and tell you guys that I read through all of those emails. Maybe like the first like 3 or 4. After that, it really doesn't matter because today starts spring break. Ain't God good? But yeah, this pandemic only exacerbated a problem that was already there in terms of work culture. And that gets into my questions. Do y'all think that y'all jobs really care about y'all? Be honest.
Fuck no. Fuck no. They look at my black ass as another slave. They said, get your ass over there and work. The fact that you brought up the whole not putting in your full amount of hours worked, and I don't know if this is just a black thing, and I feel like I hear it more in black circles than I ever would in white circles, but feeling like we like need to work 10 times harder to get half as much, but then also feeling like we owe it to a company to help them save money. And I'm like, them bitches ain't looking every fucking town hall. We're shooting for $1 billion this year. Y'all know how much a fucking billion is, my nigga? But y'all talking to me and telling me y'all ain't got no money.
Ever touch.
Y'all ain't got no money for my raise. Y'all ain't got no money for my promotion. Y'all ain't never got no money when I asked for it. But y'all touching $1 billion. That's very telling. That's very telling. And if you're gonna be asking me to submit a timesheet, you better be ready for them overtime hours to be put in. And if not, you better be ready for my lawyer. Period.
And then when I did put in my overtime hours,
want to call me up.
I got reprimanded. I got reprimanded for not clearing my overtime hours with my boss. And I'm like, fair. Maybe I should have said something, but what's she going to say? No.
But did you know that I was working them?
First of all, if there is work, if there is fucking work enough for me to be overtime, it's my fucking money.
Well, and I think it's really telling too, like the fear that Jameer is like naming, right? About even saying that we're uncomfortable in these jobs, right? So if we're talking about company culture and we're working for these companies that we're too afraid to say anything about because we need our paycheck, you know what I mean? Like there's just so many layers to it, especially Star and I, we went to this webinar the other day and was talking about decentering whiteness and like what that looks like. And the two women that led it no longer work for white corporations. They're self-employed. And I think it says a lot about how so many people only feel empowered when they are out of a job or when they're working for themselves. And I just, that makes me so angry. I get so mad.
I feel like I remember being in college and I was working with my cousin and she has her own business. And every single person that she was connected to or working with, it was other Black women, but they were all their own CEOs. And I was like, God damn, does nobody just want to work for a company anymore? Like, why does everybody? And like, I kept trying to figure out, everybody keeps pushing this, be an entrepreneur. I'm like, I don't want to. I want to join the thing that is already in motion. And I want my check to come on a nice little schedule conveniently. It's not my life's work. It's not what I want to do. But if I have to hit a means to an end, that is something that I like because that feels stable for me. I don't ever want to be in the 5-year thick of the grind trying to build up my business. I don't care to do that. This is not something that's a part of my personality. But then you start fucking working and you're like, wow, y'all are really fucking disrespectful. I'm going to have to do this shit myself. Mm. And I'm like, I'm now doing something because I'm forced to do it just for my own safety, health, and like mental stability. And I'm like, even that is a fucking fight. And I'm just like, yo.
I think it's so important also to like name, right? We know that Black women are the number one entrepreneurs out there. And for me, when I hear numbers like that, I'm paying attention to it because I know Black women know where it's at. And I also want to say something that I've been thinking about when I quit my job is like, what table am I building, right? So when we're always talking about like reimagining spaces and we're thinking about like deconstructing for what? Why am I putting all of this energy into a corporation that I know treats Black people like shit, wants free emotional labor as they're writing corporate statements, and then turning around and being like, why are you overtime?
But yeah, that kind of goes into my next question. Do y'all think that after or during the pandemic, have y'all been working more or less than y'all were before, like when everything was in person? Are y'all working more or less than now that you guys are working from home?
Can I just be, I'm going to be all the way real. I assessed the situation and I determined that I had done a lot of work. I had done a lot of work. And when I was home and I was seeing Chad doing very little, I knew that I could still do a lot and just drive it back a little bit. So I don't like that question because I was still doing a lot. I was just assessing and analyzing how much work and effort did I put in. And then everything else was a bonus on top. So that's how I saw
it. Well, I felt that.
A word.
No, because I noticed that too. It's a lot of other people at your job that probably was skating by. Mm-hmm. They were skating by when y'all was in the office. And they were skating by when he was working from home too. Oh, Star started covering her face.
Who, me? Star's gonna hide under her hood. She feels seen.
I think it's
a little convicted.
Well, not even convicted because I freely have admitted it to.
Sure, like, I am.
Out of our last two podcast recordings, each time I've been like, I'm really lazy. I'll admit it. Like, I don't like working hard. But I think also, okay, this is a two part thought. Working in academics is so funky because it's like people are. Especially in administration. Teachers, it's a completely different beast, right? Like, teachers have their own host of issues with administration and, like, curriculum building and curriculum reassessing and, like, all that stuff. But I think, like, in administration, I did so much less work this past summer than I did the year before. And here's why. I know, Bonnie, you're laughing because you would assume it's because I'm lazy. But here's why. because most of the work that is done over the summer by administration is in building work. It's mailing stuff. It's setting up the lockers in a way that makes sense. It's making sure books get taken to the library when kids drop them off after they have forgotten about them for 3 months. It's meetings with parents for like pre-advisory meetings, scheduling meetings. Like, it's all this stuff. And you know what really, really just grinds my gears? I did not do a lot of work this summer because I was never given any expectations by the people above me. It was this weird moment of like, I didn't do a lot, and then I had to backload everything like the last 4 weeks before we started school, and it caused a lot of issues. But we also, per our state mandate and per our school mandate, we weren't allowed in the building from March until June. So what was I supposed to do? Like, I can't go into the building, you know? So there's like a lot of things that really caused me to reassess and be like, I'm working a lot less. And part of that is because there's really nothing for me to do. And yes, maybe a part of it, like in hindsight, I'm like, maybe a part of it could have been me being a bit more proactive. But based on the previous summer, which was my first full summer, there wasn't much I could do because I wasn't allowed in the building. So it's like this whole cycle of questioning and guilt and realization that I feel like we go through.
What does it mean to work hard? Who's setting that standard? And we all probably, even just the four of us in this room, have different ideas of what it means to work hard.
So I don't know if Jameer caught it, but yesterday when Ann James was on BTGM's Ask Me Anything series, Kyla had asked, she said, so what's best practices? And before she could even get the rest of the sentence out, Ann James said, let me explain something. The term best or best practices is a tool of white supremacy. Because best for who? She said best for who? Because the weight that I carry is not going to be the weight that you carry. The burdens that I have are not going to be the burdens that somebody else has. So it's always going to look different. And to tell me that I am not at my capacity, you got some, man, listen, and I'll tell you right now, there's some people out there with some big ass balls, cause, a word.
Speak best, on it.
Best practices, best, that word, that's a tool of white supremacy, like, and I'm like, not here for it.
Do you know me?
I'm not here for it.
All right, well, I'm about to alley-oop it to Bonnie for her topic. You ready, Bonnie?
I'm ready. You know, so I was thinking about this topic a lot, Jameer, and I was thinking about what I wanted to name my little segment, and I was going with why I can no longer smile at corporations that bullshit me, why work from home is my new favorite thing, and other shit the pandemic taught me. So, Jameer,
that just sounds like a whole ass book. You're gonna write this as a book, right?
Listen, type A. Listen, I'm type A. I like
put it on Amazon.
Spelled out everything. Yes, Daphne will buy it. But
Jameer, I will buy it too.
Good. I like these folks. Jameer, I just met you, but you spoke to my soul when we were talking about employment and like trying to figure out whether or not you should put your time in. So for a variety of reasons, I quit my job at the beginning of March. And there's one side of me that was like, I know it's a pandemic. I got to focus on capitalism shit. But between prioritizing my mental health and making a major career pivot, I knew I needed a change that would honor the exhaustion and the fatigue I felt. And like Daphne was saying, knowing my value and seeing my worth and really going with it. And you know, funny thing, as soon as I started working from home, I couldn't help but notice something changing for me as far as my mental health. I started to notice that when I worked from home, I wasn't hiding my full self. I wasn't worrying about microaggressions or someone touching my hair. I wasn't worried if someone would think I couldn't do my job because I was rocking an afro and no bra. And you know, when I knew that I could do my job well, and when I confirmed
it. Sorry, looking at me
and
like that.
Both of y'all. I don't know.
Star knows I show up to work rocking the afro and no bra before the pandemic. I don't give a shit.
Got me spilling her secrets.
Listen.
But when it was confirmed that I could do my job just as well with an afro and no bra, you know, it was all over. And something shifted inside of me. I started to feel really frustrated and stifled about what I knew was being stolen from me and PWI culture. 2020 was a really shitty year for all kinds of reasons. Jameer touched on a lot of them. We had corporations telling us they cared about us, and then on the side, depending on our free emotional labor. We witnessed countless people die, and countless others think the best way to show up for us was to post more videos of us dying or post a black square or whatever. We watched people carry guns to protest wearing a mask and storm capitals and Congress. And through it all, we did it all while exhausted, mourning, still handling our day-to-day shit and handing over the deliverables. So here's what I know. That was bullshit. And just because it was normalized doesn't make it okay. One thing that I have been slowly realizing lately is that all through 2020, I really didn't allow myself to investigate how much of a toll it was to handle racism on top of the physical isolation and fear caused by the pandemic. And while racism is certainly not new, holding all of that together was hell. And I was tired, I'm still tired, and I'm angry. So because I'm super type A, and I love research, as y'all know, or are getting to know, I started researching to see if I was the only one that felt this way, and it turns out that I'm not, but it's complicated. Kimberly Bryant, the founder of Black Girls Code, argues in the New York Times article, Working from Home Poses Hurdles for Employees of Color, that because BIPOC folks have less extensive networks than white colleagues, virtual workspaces can be more isolating and assignments can often be pushed to white colleagues, which can lead to less advancement for folks of color, more hourly jobs and less salary jobs, less visibility. In addition, Kimberly says that due to the pandemic, 27% of companies that had DEI efforts, they put them on hold, which sends another really important message about critical and essential work. In corporations, we know that being visible is a critical aspect of advancement. And if people don't know you, they don't see you. However, others argue that because people work from home, it decreases the amount of informal gatherings and networks in which we're left out of. There's a leveling that occurs, they say, when we use Zoom. And I admit, I pause, full stop, every time I hear someone say that something's an equalizer because I don't believe in that shit. On the flip, some college students argue that remote college has been game-changing. In Elizabeth Burton's HuffPost article, I didn't realize just how draining campus racism was until my college went online. She argued that online school via Zoom provided her with a buffer from racist comments from classmates in the classroom, because all she had to do now was power off, turn off her camera, or leave the room when the conversations came up. I love that. I felt that. So what do y'all think? Has remote work empowered people that have been traditionally marginalized? I want to hear your thoughts.
I'm going to touch on the very last thing you said, but I see that's one of your questions, so I don't want to jump ahead.
I don't know if I would say empowering as much as like just all around like mental health, nurturing, cathartic, whatever, because the eye rolls I be giving behind my screen, it used to take all the cells in my body to control my face during those conferences when I'm just like, y'all really saying this goofy shit? Oh, y'all really just saying this wild stuff in the conference room? Okay. And just hold my deadpan face as much as I could. Now, that camera be off, and I low-key be in the... And I be low-key hoping that the green light is on and I just think the camera's off behind a tab or something. Because I sure enough, there is just times that like things that I see, I'm just like, you really said that? You really said that? Wow, that's crazy. Just rolling my eyes at all of the diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives that I know are bullshit. And that the usually the instructor is also an agent of white supremacy. But we won't talk about that today. We won't talk about that. But yeah.
Yes, I will be wearing my mask even after the pandemic. That shit hides me so well. I can make whatever face. People can say all kinds of crazy. I can just feel like, and no one knows.
Yeah, that really be me. Listen. Like, I'm so glad that I don't have as many. So I'm actually working at the school now with a few kids in my classroom. And like, when it was all those meetings and all those things before, it was so many times my face would frown up. And I'm like, oh, let me just cut my camera off for a little bit, because they can't see the side of me. Like, those meetings and all those trainings and PDs every single Oh my god. They try to kill us.
Yo.
I have never felt more empowered to talk back to a white man as I did when on mute in large meetings. I'd just be saying shit and then like texting my friends being like, are y'all hearing this too? Because, you know, when you're in person, you can only give so many sideways glances before everyone notices that you and your friends are at the back of the room, like chopping it up. But listen, virtually, I'm like, y'all hearing this? Like, did I hallucinate the last 5 minutes of this video call, or is everyone else here with me?
No, bro. We got all the 5 black people left in my company. We are all in a group chat together. And the thing is, the group started a little bit heavier, but as the pandemic went on, of course, you know, we're going to reevaluate roles in the company, blah, blah, bullshit. And so some people in the group don't work there no more, but they still in the group. And every time we get one of these kumbaya, we're going to be doing more for black and brown people and the blah, blah, bullshit. We sure enough pull right up that QuickTime player, record. I don't have no conversation. First of all, listen, I don't have no conversations with anybody that is not black, that is not recorded. Everything recorded. And it's so fucking sad. He said, what?
You got proof? Yes, I do.
Listen. Listen.
It was on January 2nd.
So when y'all asked me what that exit interview was like. It was January 2nd,
2021, when he was playing niggas in Paris in the background.
Bro.
And he is not a nigga, and he was not in Paris. So, I ain't saying he got to go, but I'm saying he got to leave.
Swiftly. Swiftly. Yo, one time, deadass, I recorded like an hour long meeting that I had. And all I remember is the promises that were made in that meeting were not upheld. And I gave them a graceful 2 days. I gave them a full 48 hours. And I said, hey, y'all, things are not thinging right now. And they thought that they had me and they tried to pump fake me. And I was like, well, this is what was said. And I quoted it verbatim. And it was a little hefty paragraph too. So there was no fucking way that my brain's gonna memorize that. I turned that record button on and I fucking fully transcribed that bitch. And they were like, you're right. That's what that, I did say that. I know you said it. Do you need the clip? Cause I'll send the clip.
I mean, I was there.
So listen, like I said, that QuickTime player, the minute
that
white people
starts early.
Yo.
Clips like the news.
Yo,
and that's okay.
The gaslighting.
We should not have to record every interaction we have with a white folk to get them to believe us. You talking about memorizing paragraphs? No, fuck that shit. We should not have to be like, is it on Zoom? Let me show you, rewind trauma porn. Let me just show you all of this shit that you... So, well, that leads me to my second question, y'all. Because this is my second question. How has 2020 impacted employee-employer relationships, both so black-white? And did we feel like 2020 created a multi-generational trend of what bullshit employees are willing to put up with or not? Because I know something broke for me, and I want to know if something broke for y'all.
Oh, Bonnie, I'm broke. I'm broke.
So
I was broken before.
I am a Toy Story toys.
I've yet to be put back
in
together.
In forgotten land. I am Toy Story toys that have been forgotten in the land of no friends.
But I'm just thinking, whatever they think tradition is, now that I know I can work and make money braless, I'm not going back to work where I got to put on a bra.
Oh, listen, like I said, that bra ship sailed in like 2015 for me. until I see somebody keel over and die from possibly seeing a nip, I don't give a fuck. but as far as it breaking me, oh yeah, I'm definitely broke. And I think it's because 2020 gave us the Wizard of Oz moment that we had always been waiting for. It let us pull back the curtain and see who is running Oz. Because before it was, you need to be at work at this time. You need to do this and you need to do that. And I don't need to do nothing but stay black, die, and pay taxes. Like, listen,
Taxes automatically come
out. Like, taxes automatically come out. And do we really need to? Like, I'm on the fence.
That's a whole other conversation.
Now listen, hold on. No, wait. That's a side conversation. I need to make this very clear for my black people. I need y'all to have them pull out your taxes every time you get paid. Because that whole lump sum payment at the end, y'all niggas never got y'all money because y'all spent it all.
It's crazy.
And y'all be like, where's crazy. All my money? Why they asking me for $22,000 in taxes? Because, listen, you didn't get it taken out in the check. I need y'all to know. Y'all need to push that. There's two options. You need to push that little button that's going to let them take your tax money every time you get a paycheck.
Automatically.
This is just a conversation.
A too specific.
$22,000. Listen. Because
I know a lot of people that happen to.
I know a lot. That's what I'm saying. I knew from the rip a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I had my first little McDonald's job when I was like 16, I was like, what are these options and what do they mean? And my boss flat out said, well, listen, this one, you'll get your whole check. You're going to see your whole check. But come the end of the year, they gonna want that money. I said, oh, wait a minute. A nigga gonna press me after I already been paid? No. Don't even let me see it. I don't even want to see it. If that money don't belong to me.
I don't even want to see it.
Listen, because without it makes it into my hands. All
that from like the little pay stub that you get, I want to know how much they just took out. Don't even tell me about it.
Yo, don't give me the breakdown. Don't give me the breakdown. Give me none of that shit. Just take the money that does not belong to me no more. But I'm tired of driving
that
on potholes.
Like
$22,549.
I think one thing that this pandemic thing has taught me, though, like, all them people that was working from home, like all those supervisors and all of, yo, why can't I work from home?
Yo,
why the executive? Why is the executive director working from home?
I'm gonna work from home and then I'll be in it. I'm going to work from home, then I'll be in at 10:30 for a meeting, and then I have a lunch meeting, and then I'll probably just leave early
now,
and do some work from home.
Why can't I
now,
do
wait,
that?
Wait.
Why can't I do
will
that?
Say this. No. I will say this. So our CEO, this man was the king of coming in early and leaving late. So, but the thing is, nobody felt no guilt around the choices that he made. Right. Normally people would be like, you know what? The CEO came in early and he leaving late. We should stick around the same. No.
Me, oh, no.
Me and him used to be the first.
He gets CEO checks.
Listen.
He gets CEO checks. I don't
Jameer.
Get CEO checks.
Jameer.
He's putting in those hours for his six
Jameer.
Figure check.
Jameer, listen. And
Kevin
thing
Samuels
is,
will still say he's broke.
The only
he'd be like,
he's not a
wait,
high
so
man.
You're only making you're only making man. 300K. And you live in New York City?
$999,000.
Do you get food stamps? Are you on social? Are you on
how tall are you?
Do you own a large Amazon box? But that ass, it used to be so crazy for me.
And you have a bald head? You're only 27, damn. What the hell's going on with you?
But it used to
I'm surprised women say hi to you.
It used to kill me that, like, I would see him leave early and it would throw me off. And I would, like, literally, if he left early, he would even be like, hey, I'm heading out early. I have a doctor's appointment. And so I'm just going to, like, stay in Jersey. And if I have anything, come up, you know? And even that was weird. And before, I was like, I used to see people come in, like, 11 o'clock. They leave by 3. Just casually stroll out with their little bag like they ain't doing shit. And I'm just like, how y'all feel comfortable doing this? Like,
yeah, like,
what?
I'm like,
you know how many niggas will be dying
that.
For your job right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
and you
I know people fighting for just a crumb. A crumb. And, like, after this pandemic, I was like, oh, nah. These people had the game figured out. They came in with way more sense than I could ever. Because the reality is, if you need me, you'll call me. The reality is...
Yes.
I know my work limits. The reality is, I could do all my work in an hour. Yo, no, I ain't gonna hold y'all. The job that I had coming out of college, I used to do a whole day's work in 2 hours and nap at my desk. And my black woman manager, she called me in her office and she's like, Daphne, listen, I know you can do the work. I know you can execute it. I know you could just push through it. Push yourself, get it done in like 2 hours. I know that. But I'm going to need you to stop taking a nap at the desk. And listen, she flat out said this to me. She said, because all these white people around here, they can't do it in 2 hours. They can't.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are sleeping, all they see is a black woman sleeping at her desk.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, so, if you want to go take a walk or something, she goes, don't be out too long because you know they be watching what you do. She was like, but listen.
They do though.
She's like, She said, just keep one screen up. I don't give a shit if you're on the internet or something. I know the work is done. It is what it is.
I was like, sis. Yes. I had a black woman manager and she pulled me aside and she was like, Bonnie, can you help me with this? And then she looked at me and she was like, I just shit. She was like, nah. She was like, I need you to do this. She was like, white people say that. They'll say like, can I help? And you know it's all on you. And she, I'm going to be real with you. I just need you to get this done. And I appreciated that because it's all of that little like, help me out. We're a team language that Jameer was talking about. You know, I still appreciate you. And it's all like, especially when you can't put your name on it. And that's a big thing in the legal world. You're ghostwriting. And you didn't even know that was a thing. You didn't even know that you're not getting paid to ghostwrite. Here, this legal alert. Sure. Write this for me. And then we'll stamp a partner name on it. Cool.
Yo, thank yous don't keep my lights on. And I feel like it's the same thing with like, if you're in acting,
don't keep me happy.
Yo.
Okay, but to be fair, where Daphne works, Redacted has the dopest snack
room. I'm just saying.
And you know why? You know who curated that snack room? Daphne.
Thank you. If it comes to a raise or office snacks, lose the office snacks. I'm tired of like pizza parties to recognize Daphne's a great team member. Give me a CPO. Give me a raise. Recognize the value that I bring. And Daphne, I'm about to hand it off to you so you can just go in.
Listen. Hold on. Bonnie been out here saying some real freaking words, yo. And I feel like something that I just have to address, even in like the gig industry around how we handle people's time and capital, don't stop. Listen, telling me shit like, oh, you'll gain experience.
I got enough of that.
Listen, hold on. No, because I see they never seem to have a cap on the experience. Now, if we lived in a world where like experience if we lived in a point system of experience, like I do a job and they're like, you get 100 experience points. I want to know where I can go cash those experience points. But right now we ain't got no experience check cash in place. So when y'all be hitting me with some, you'll gain experience. I can't go to my water internship company and be like, listen. I can't be like, hi, rent. I'm going to be paying you in 400 experience bucks. What the fuck is that doing for me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My student loan debt. How many experiences would you like? Well, it was that one time I vacationed in Greece, and that last time that I did a bunch of free labor for people that didn't care and barely put my name in the credits. So. And I think what pisses me off the most is if you're gonna be functioning on experience, I want you to take the nigga with one thing on their resume, just one. Since you paying in experience. Take the nigga who only got one job on their resume. Y'all keep looking for the motherfuckers that got 45 jobs listed and trying to pay them an experience. Because you want the high quality, but you don't want to pay the high price. And that, I don't like. So.
Master's degree, $15 an hour. Bullshit.
5 years experience, $14 an hour plus commission.
Unpaid internship. That is the thing that pisses me the fuck off.
Yo, that is scamming number one. So, my segment is titled, Don't Let the Pandemic Turn You Into a Slave. Bonnie, I am so happy you pulled this topic to the table. As someone quite acquainted with Zoom fatigue in the workplace, I relate, Ashe. At the start of the pandemic,
Ashe. I fucked that, yes. Shall I be done?
Listen.
She may bring in just languages.
Whew. I remember the ease in which I could adjust to catching up on my home life versus my work life. Cleaning, cooking, and resting all were finding balance in my life as I navigated a working adjustment. But as fast as that balancing act came, it went Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd. In succession, I found my world shaken again as it did with the new faces of Black death at the hands of brutality. White people have a People's Choice Award every year, and Black people get to find out who the new headline for Injustice is. Now, I tried to continue on as I've done for years, business as usual, but something about George Floyd made that impossible. It was with his death I realized that non-Black people were also at home doing the same balancing act of life that I was. And for once, they couldn't hide behind the guise of work in order to ignore Black suffering. Because when they turned to COVID as a mental burden of choice that they were more focused on, they found out there was nothing but more Black suffering and death there too. So, what does this have to do with work? A lot. As insidious as ever, non-Black people clung to Black people for guidance on how to handle racial problems. But of course, through free Black labor that would never actually impact their own lives. Here's the thing, they had time to do the work, and they didn't. I thought about all of my Black people populating the service industry that would be left jobless or endangered by COVID. I thought about the countless hours of free labor Black people would give so they would need to take Zoom calls about how could this, racism, be a real thing from the only room in their homes that they can de-stress in. I thought about what does trust look like for Black people. And let me tell you, it's hard out here. Black people's trust and white sympathy had us semi-believe that white people's companies would offer promotions, job security, health protection, support of Black partners, increase in cultural relations that checked violence in the workplace. Instead, we got some Black boxes on IG, 2 months worth of sorries, and a little pocket change in our Venmos. Once again, my Venmo is at Daphne22. Y'all can hit me anytime. I also have Cash App, and I do take Facebook Cash and any other variety. Zelle, I'm on there too. A bitch, we need some money. Now listen. Hey, 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 shout out to Wells Fargo.
I see how you're just dropping your own, Daphne. You could drop ours too.
Listen.
You have time at the end to drop yours.
Go ahead. Drop your ads. Go ahead. Now don't
say that. At Starlisha-Gingrich at Venmo.
There you go.
PayPal.me/StarlishaG.
Don't say I didn't give y'all a platform. Don't say I didn't give y'all a platform. The workplace is still the same harmful environment it always was. Because people don't change, places do. So now Black people have the added benefit of harassment from behind the screen in their homes. And as they navigate to actually learn to trust. Can you imagine what it's like to cry over a job or be so filled with rage and not able to leave it at the plantation? I mean, business. To all my Black people out there, please remember we are no longer slaves. We work hard and we play harder. And when you're tired, get tired. You live in a capitalistic society that means your work should directly equal capital, not words of affirmation. Now listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, my love language is acts of service. My work language is acts of fucking service. And the act of service means y'all need to pay me. Now, you do not have to be grateful for simply being employed in a pandemic. You're worthy without COVID or not. And your Black skin from birth doesn't require that you spend all your energy taking up the white man's burden of educating themselves on racial injustice in the workplace. And to my Asian brothers and sisters, same shit goes for y'all. You don't exist for white people to collect sympathy points or social justice stars. When you're tired, you're tired. And employers better recognize the privilege it is to be offered entry into our homes and our lives as we watch our brutality on TV and social media and in our workplaces. And I'm gonna leave it with this. Y'all better learn today. Don't confuse my free time with my availability. And that's it. I ain't got no questions. So are you ready?
Yeah, I felt, especially that last line.
That last part where you said about coming into our homes. You know what I just thought of? How many people have I invited into my home? Not my white coworkers, but all of a sudden they're seeing my home on their screen. And I just thought about that. We don't invite our white coworkers to come hang out in our homes.
I do.
Star, now you know you special.
Yo, yeah. She different. She move on a different kind of time, y'all.
But they're also the ones who have like actually started doing work and like showing
started
up for me
work?
And like
I'm sorry started.
Well have
in
been
your
doing
big
work.
Age
they
oh, no
okay one of them
age,
one of them because
your,
she's still okay listen to what
age.
I'm saying
No, Daphne. And you're big listen age. Listen to what I'm saying. How long have you been black?
32 whole years. Okay. 32 whole years. So but means, I didn't know so black means, people so until means, I was 27.
So that means, bitch, you still been living black? You still been living black.
Okay, but listen to what
so
I'm saying.
So there's no room for me
one
to
of
hear.
My coworkers
they just started.
Is literally
they had
still
ample
a child.
Time. When you had to learn,
oh,
when
yeah.
you had to learn, they
no,
had time to
you're
learn
right.
too. So I don't want to hear none of that. I'm over that. I'm over that.
Okay, what I'm saying
no
is one
oh,
of my coworkers
about racism last year. No, you didn't. You ignored it.
Literally a child, and like she comes from a very conservative family, and has a like she's more liberal than her family members, but I mean she's the one who's like doing the catching up compared to the other two, like yeah, and I chalk that up to the fact that she literally lived in her parents' house until this year.
All I'm saying is when I started taking work phone calls, I just started putting black shit up on my wall and
going
like this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I did too.
Listen.
They'd be like, what's that
Yeah.
Yo, I started doing it with my mask too. They'd be like, what's on your mask? Like, the Black Panther.
The Black
Panther.
Just start lying because
yes.
you know
you
that
seen
they
the
don't
movie?
Know anything about black culture. That's where I pray to. Did you know? I put Targets up on there.
Listen. Since y'all want to be so nosy.
Look, I have no sympathy for white people.
What's that over there?
I have no sympathy for white people, but like, I'm glad I don't know those types of white people. Like, in a close capacity to even be having Listen. To like pretend to lie to them about anything.
You know what I love? I love taking.
This is where I worship my ancestors.
Yes.
I love taking Zoom calls.
Henny.
That's offering. I love taking calls with black people or like watching like webinars and stuff that are hosted by black people because all I do is look behind them and I just find so many different gems. Mm-hmm. And it's shit that I'm like, I know damn well that does not live there. You purposely set this up for these Zoom calls because you deal with insidious white supremacy every kind of day. And the thing
yeah,
is,
Def. What's that in the back? Oh, it's Malcolm
X. No. Because see, this is the thing. If you don't come in heavy with some like Black Lives Matter sticker or sign or something, then they think it's free range to just be off
exactly.
their guard and saying any old dumb shit. But that right there, it's literally like a little outside bubble
you
of my
head. Gotta
put
reminders up. I am black.
Here you go. And I don't play that. And I don't play that. All these, I'm so sorry. Are you? If you so sorry, go ahead and give me some money. Okay, give me some money. And you can still be sorry tomorrow because the government owes me reparations. It ain't you. It's the government. The government. Okay? I seen niggas on Tumblr do the reparations math. So y'all will never convince me otherwise.
Money.
Y'all will
it's
never
a lot
convince
of money.
Me otherwise.
I would literally never go back to work.
50,
if I got my reparations, I'd be like,
listen,
I'm fine.
All black people Good. Should be able to get their DNA results for free 99. The fact that y'all mm-hmm. took all of our history and ancestry from us, that should automatically be free 99 government paid assistance. Period. But you know why they don't do that?
Free housing.
Because then if you, because the thing is that ancestry DNA will start tracing the lineage and doing the numbers, and it'll tell you the year when that ancestor popped up. And then they're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Now these people can really clarify if they deserve these reparations. We don't like that. They don't like that. Period.
I was
Sorry,
told today
all,
by...
This all you.
I was told today by a gay, white, male Republican that reparations were inherently racist. And then I, like, destroyed him with some...
For who? Because it seems like every other racial demographic got reparations. No. Because I think it's so
He was
funny
like, you're
that,
probably
like,
one of those people who believe in reparations. And I said, hell yeah, I believe in reparations. And indigenous people should get them too.
Indigenous people should get a lot more than... They should get a lot more than just
like,
reparations.
Base level.
I'm like,
maybe
yo,
some
no,
money,
no, no.
Everything
no,
else. All their land back.
I'm like, glad listen. Somebody... Y'all owe a lot of shit to the indigenous community. Like...
mm-hmm. Times
we even,
400.
We just asking for reparations. Y'all niggas, y'all got some work. And I just...
Somebody once tried to trap me and was like, if the Native American people wanted your land where you live back, would you leave? And I was like, yeah. Like, if
the government would just pay me reparations for the
rolled
house.
Up to my door and
Could
was
you
like,
imagine?
We want this land back, I'd be like, bet. I can be out in 22 hours. We can make
all
this
I
work.
Need, all
and
I
the
need
government will
is
pay me reparations.
Yep. And all I need is these white people to give me my reparations and my plane ticket, my plane little ticket, right on back. Wherever you gotta Africa? Go.
Sure.
I am glad you brought that up, because I think the reparations conversation has to be nuanced in the fact of whose land do we think, you know, you mean, whose land is this?
Yeah.
And the whole land back movement is trying to do that. You can't have a colonial government and say we're working towards anti-racism if we're forgetting our indigenous. I mean, they need a whole genocide museum, and we still haven't given them a holocaust genocide museum. You know, there's just, it's so nuanced, and I think it has to be.
Yeah. All right, switching gears, or should I say, switching careers.
Bring it
we
back.
Should just not laugh this time.
It's even funnier the second time.
Because we know to expect it.
This is tragic.
All right, y'all, let me tell y'all. Quitting my job was the best thing to happen to me this last year, but I had to go through some pretty terrible things first, and I had to go through some pretty terrible things before I realized all of the good points y'all have made. I don't have a lot to add to all the great things that you three have talked about, because mostly that will involve naming lots of names, white people, and their indiscretions. And I already talked about four white men I dated last week, and that was a whole thing that apparently everyone had an issue with that I honestly don't remember.
It ain't Helen in March no more.
It is. Wait, what is April's?
African American April?
Oh, yeah, African American April. That's what it is.
No, African American April.
Yo, African we keep coming with the hits. We had Black History Month, Melanin March, and now we got African Diaspora April. I love it. I love it.
Yep. So I am going to just keep this brief and say that sometimes, as Black women or people, really, any one of any minoritized identity, it's so beneficial for our literal physical health as well as our mental health to just, like, maybe quit our jobs. Just, like, maybe just quit. Like, the amount of times I have texted Bonnie in the last year and have said to her, what if you just quit today?
She's off script. But Star is also the one that told me not to lie on resumes when I said, these white people be scamming us. We be scamming them.
And Bonnie, tell her why. I mean, you don't have to actually name names here, but Bonnie knows the reason I told you.
I ain't say OD. Not to lie. I just say lie. A little bit. Just a little bit. Because they don't believe you anyway. It doesn't matter. They came to scam you. You might as well scam today before
I will
today
just
scams
say,
you.
One of my friends applied for a job, and she texted me, and she was like, Bonnie, I will let you know where you were my supervisor at.
Now listen.
And then what happened?
And then she got the job. See? She got the job. They I didn't feel comfortable lying for her. So they reached out to me a couple times. I told her I never got the emails or the phone calls. They just went into spam. I just deleted them all. But she did get the job, and it was a $25,000 salary bump. So
listen, I'll be your supervisor, I'll be your previous manager, I'll be the company janitor.
Charge.
If that's what needs to be done. To get niggas a check, I will
for
help
a low
a black
compensation.
Person.
Definitely. Didn't I just say I would do that for you in our
Jameer,
chat?
Jameer, me and Jameer are on the same kind of wave.
I said, like, I don't what you need me to be?
Who, listen, I know how to act. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you need me to write some references
We've all
for
done
you.
That. So,
Bonnie,
anyway, what if we I was the manager at Rite Aid, supposedly. I was the manager at Rite Aid. I was the manager at...
No, Jameer. Look. No, wait. Before you go any further, I'm going to post this in the story. But that little kid doctor who was posing to be a fake doctor, he looked like Jameer
Oh,
Jamal.
My God.
That nigga looked like Jameer. I saw that shit.
He does look like Jameer
no,
Jamal.
I saw that shit. I was like...
My family was adding it to all the group chats. Like my cousin Kenneth, he was like, "Yo, this could be our long lost cousin. You gotta ask your brother, you gotta ask your dad about this." And I'm like, "Huh? What y'all talking about?" And he puts the picture in the group chat. He was like, "Yeah, he's like a fake doctor or something. He even wore glasses, like you
that
and your
was
brother."
Jameer.
I'm like,
"It was."
I'm like, "Everybody wears glasses, nigga. Shut up." And then I had professor saying it. I'm like, "My teeth don't look nothing like that. I'm cute, okay? Y'all can't see it because my camera ain't on, but I'm cute."
I was gonna say, Jameer, you are off camera.
Listen.
You can follow me on Instagram. I'm cute, we okay?
Post, when this so episode the fact that drops, they had that we ugly are posting this.
Don't
this
follow shit. Jameer. He's problematic.
Oh, yeah. He's very problematic. What? Don't do that.
No, on Instagram, I'm very...
That's true. Wait. Except on when Instagram, you were in my safe. Inbox 2 days ago being problematic already. In my DMs.
Now, Twitter, we can't promise y'all nothing. Because that...
No.
Every time I get on that app, I'll be like, I'm going to have to cancel him.
No, I don't even be wilding out like that. Oh my God.
So what if we all just quit our jobs is my point, right? Like, finally, the CDC has recognized that racism is a public health issue and that Black women in particular are having a harder time physically because of racism and the racist system, white supremacist system that we live under and work under. I have two new part-time jobs that I'm working remotely. I'm not stressed in the mornings trying to get out the door because y'all know I don't drive, so it's just nice to get out of bed and go downstairs. And I have energy to work on other things. I do want to note, though, that usually when people are like, just quit your job, they are very steeped in privilege. And I want to be transparent here and say that when I went on my leave of absence in December, I literally had $0. Like, I couldn't get anyone Christmas presents, no one in my family. I couldn't get my friends Christmas presents. I really couldn't do anything because I had no money coming in. And it was truly awful. You know what wasn't awful? Sleeping in. It was wonderful. I love sleeping in. I slept later. I worked on things that brought me joy. I played lots of Fortnite. And I wasn't scared of running into the racist white lady who was violent towards me at work.
Oof.
And I know quitting is scary, but I really encourage y'all to find what will bring you consistent joy. If you're not like me and actually have some money saved up, quit your job. If you hate it, quit your job or change careers if you can. If you are like me and you have no money saved up, weigh your options and then decide what makes sense for you. If you know you can afford to take some time off, even if you can't afford to leave your job altogether, do it. You are far too precious to put your health at risk for these raggedy-ass white-serving institutions.
Mm.
Say it again.
Raggedy. So,
now, I do say
raggedy.
This. I don't know if I fully suggest quitting your job. Maybe right now, while the pandemic, pepperoni pizza is still happening. But get that severance, y'all. Let them let you go. Let them let
I
you
I tried.
Go.
So wait, these are my two now questions. Listen. These are my two questions. Have y'all ever just like
play me, you play yourself.
Daphne's old motto. Have y'all ever just like up and quit a job?
I've up and quit like clubs and activities, but that's usually like when it gets to the point of like me being disrespected.
I will say I quit my job and I have no regrets. When I quit my job, I'm now on two boards. I'm getting paid. I'm looking for a full-time job, but like I'm working for myself. I had four more gigs, and this is like all in the last 3 weeks. This has happened since I quit my job. And you know, I want to be real honest. When we're talking about quitting a job, there's a lot of privilege in being able to do that. And not everybody that's listening to this podcast is going to be able to. Yep. We know that and we recognize that and we understand that. But if you can invest in yourself, just like Star was saying, I encourage you to do it.
Here's my second question. Have y'all ever tried to get fired? Just like straight up, you're like, maybe if I do this, they will fire me.
No.
I would say I would let the bullshit start coming out my mouth faster, but no.
I'm currently on my spiritual journey.
Oh, that's your answer?
I'm still working on you, Daddy.
Oh my golly.
Somebody laid a hand because...
So, yes, that was a yes, Daphne. You have tried to get fired.
Listen, I'm currently on my spiritual journey. That's all I
can
say.
You
got to
leave it at that.
You know, it's above me now. It's above me now.
Just like my student loan debt, Joe Biden.
If you don't fix it, then I'm not. So,
listen.
Out of my control.
I forgave myself for them loans. Joe better keep up. Joe better keep up, because that ain't got shit to do with me. My God is mightier.
I said I was sorry.
I forgave myself.
She said her God is mightier. Yes, he is.
He will do it.
I got a praying grandmother.
All you have to do is ask.
No, y'all really don't understand. Like, I fully was at the point in my life where I was like, these are the things that I want to accomplish. And I feel like God saw me in the beginning of last year, and he was like, sis, I see what you're doing, and I know you having fun, and I know you on your way to hot girl summer, and you doing a lot of wicked winter shit. He knew. Started going cycling.
Wicked winter.
Now listen.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
It just became one, Jameer.
Okay.
I was at peak. I was going to brunch almost like every weekend. I was out every weekend, living my best life. Skin was glowing, having fun, thying and bopping, doing what I do. And then all of a sudden, God was like, sis, see, you're not on the path that I set for you. What the? Star! He was like, you're not on the path that I set for you. And so the Rona came, and God was like, get your ass in the house. And when I got my ass in the house, I wasn't spending money out every weekend. You know where my money was going? Paying off my debts. That's what it was, paying off my debts. And as it was paying off my debts, I was able to actually organize my life and be like, you know what? I said I was going to write. I got time to write now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write. I'm going to focus on my creative endeavors. The reason I took on this job in the first place was because it gave me ample time to do my passion projects. And now I got time to do my passion projects along with work because I saved time not commuting. My commute time is now given back to me. And on top of that, I was like, I'm doing the shit that I love doing. And I'm like, I bought my first car in the pandemic. Like, bitches saving money on rent right now. Like, you don't understand. When I say God set me up so that when I got here to this very moment in time and people are talking to me crazy, God says, sis, I want you to go ahead and look in that account for me. And I looked in that account and I said, God, they don't know. They don't know. I am not the one to play. Play me, you play yourself. Period. So, like I said, I'm on my spiritual journey. And either these they can walk in my path, or they can get on out.
See, my student debt, I was talking to God about it, and she was like, you're getting married, I'm going to multiply that.
And then manifest.
When I'm praying about it, she was like, oh, I'm praying about it too. So all I'm feeling is, if God is praying and I'm praying, it's above both of us.
It's above me now. Listen.
The year of Jubilee is coming. I believe in it.
Something got to give, man.
The Pax Romana.
I believe in it too. Wait, it should be this year, 2021. It's a 7-year cycle.
No, but for real, I'm almost done paying it. But listen, if you got student debt and you get paid and you're marrying someone with student debt.
See, this is why you shouldn't be getting married.
Especially to the white man whose parents were like, yes, you can go to school anywhere.
A white man?
Y'all knew this.
A white man.
We all knew that Bonnie's husband's white. Look, all I'm saying is all signs right now, Daphne, are pointing to you quitting your job.
No, it's pointing to them letting me go. That's what it's pointing to.
I want to talk about this and we can be brief, but like, I feel like white corporations aren't going to be firing black people this year. And that's the downside to everything that happened.
Girl, I lost
because they don't want to be hit with a lawsuit.
I lost two black women co-workers for different fucking reasons of the end of the spectrum.
Via firing?
Three of my black friends were fired this year.
Girl.
2020.
Okay, but there's a big difference between the places that you two work.
They were letting Negroes go.
Oh, man. I was just saying there's differences between the two places that y'all work.
True.
So in my brain, I'm like, yeah, of course, Bonnie's job fired three. Like, because but Daphne's corporate, big CEO, world known job. I'm like, that's a bad look for them. But if they're already firing people, then maybe your time is coming.
But them severances, though, that's what I'm talking about. Every different scenario.
I feel like we could easily get you fired.
When I worked in education, we had a woman. There was a lot of people moving. This was in Hershey, but one woman quit on her last day. She sent a school, like district-wise. So there's like, I don't know, 350 maybe district-wide. She sent it district-wide. The title of the email was, keep my name out of your mouth. funny. I didn't realize this. I did not realize, but I guess a lot of people had been spreading rumors about her. And so she went in to name every single rumor that she knew that was flying around about her, dispute it, and then say F off. And she literally wrote F off in there. And that was her last day. And I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy.
Bye.
She
Listen. Was like, nope.
When you already
have like the balls. And she didn't send it at the very last minute of the day. There was still like a good half hour.
Bonnie, tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was good to meet you, Jameer.
This is really dope.
Though, apparently I should not be following you on Twitter or Instagram.
No, I mean, follow me on Instagram, your own just not Twitter.
Just not Twitter.
Bonnie, where to find you?
The fact that you have to put a disclaimer on your tweet terrifies me.
No.
Embarrassing.
It only terrifies Daphne and Star. Like, they're the only ones.
I am sure if they were terrified, then I would probably be mortified. Like,
no, look, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. I just be saying what comes to my mind sometimes.
Sometimes it should stay in your mind. Bonnie, tell us where we can find you, where the people can follow you.
If you
want
to follow me, check out the Ebenezer Project. It's www.theebenezerproject.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Danita-Taim or the_Ebenezer Project or on Facebook at the Ebenezer Project. You can donate to my Venmo. It's Danita-Taim, which is spelled C-H-A-I-M. Or you can hit me up on my website, and there's some links there that will direct you to my page. Thank you both so much for inviting me. Thank you, Star, for connecting me with your friends. And I hope y'all have a wonderful night.
Bye.
Be safe.
Bye.
Peace out.
Why is that a thing now?